break. It's a mini episode.
Hello, and welcome to another mini-sode of You Gotta Check This Out with Mike and Dre. I'm the Mike, and this week we bring some Babylon 5 revelations courtesy of Logan Trent. Logan opened our eyes to the influence X-Men had on the show. He also has a story about a chance early encounter with a Babylon 5 actor. After that, we have the usual outtakes, and then, well, I'll see you on the other side.
So, Logan, this was your introduction to Babylon 5. I heard from Dre that you have another story of someone else you met from Babylon 5, even if you haven't seen the show before.
Yeah. So it was like one of my first Comic Cons. I think I might have been like 14 or something. And I'm waiting for my mom to pick me up because, you know, I can't drive there. And this woman just bum rushes me and says, "Hi, I'm blank from Babylon 5. Here's my exclusive blah, 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 whatever card." Slams it in my hand, says, "This is my rent-a-car. Can you watch it while I go grab my stuff?" And then walks away before I even have a minute to register anything. She doesn't ask my name, doesn't say hello, just immediately shoves it in there. And I'm just like, the fuck? And first off, in my brain, I'm like, I don't care about Babylon 5. What the fuck's going on? About 2 minutes after this, my mom shows up. Now note, my mom... it's about an hour and a half away from this place. So she stopped work to come pick me up to grab me. So I have a choice here. Either I watch this rude woman's car or I go to my mom and just leave because, you know, she's taken time off of work, which note, she owned her own small business. So it's not like she was like leaving like her job, like, you know, a job where she has a manager. It's like she had to close down her store to come grab me. So I'm like, fuck this Babylon 5 lady. And I just get in the car. And note, if she had been just even the slightest bit polite when she had asked me, I would have stayed there the whole time and explained to my mom, just because, you know, I'm Arab and I'm Midwest. So it's just in our nature to just be polite that way. So I'm like, nah, let's go. And I just jumped in the car and she's like, okay. And we just left. And as I'm leaving, I see a Chicago police person looking at the car like, what the fuck is this? And it looks like they're about to either get someone to tow it or get someone to move it. And I'm just like, well, sucks for you. And I do not have that card anymore. And no, I did not see the woman in this episode. I have no idea who she is. Dre has been trying to find out for the longest time who this character is that gave me that card. So the woman... is not a main character.
Yeah,
that I know. And all I, in my vague memory of like me being 14 and trying to remember, I think she looked kind of like the woman who plays Laura Palmer's mom in Twin Peaks. If that face reminds you of anybody on this show.
I think another key point about your story. So two parts. First, shout out to Logan's mom. To your point on the person's attitude, this is that funny, almost tropey sci-fi convention thing where it's, you're not George Takei,
yeah,
you know, the second tier that's still high up. You're not Shatner. You are, there are so many of these people in this show that, you know, show up for one episode. In terms of like any person that is big enough to have their name on the first page of an episode's credits, like Logan is right. I dug through that and was like, is it this person? Is it this person? Logan's no. So yeah, it is absolutely.
She could have been in pretty heavy makeup though, too. Like she could have been
That's
like
the other problem with this. She could have been like an alien under 50 pounds of whatever. I don't remember what the card looked like because again, she just shoved it in my hands and I didn't care enough to look at it. And again, like it was high energy of, hey, nerd, here's this, do this. I'm like, no,
I'm good. What? Although you do follow up the nerd trope, you're like, I'm not doing what you say. I got to go home with my mom. You're like, okay,
yeah.
But you're still good. Here, we'll give it to you.
Yeah. No, again, like I said, if she had just been polite and said, hey, I have to go get something. Can you watch this? I would have been like, hey, mom, can I just give me like 2 minutes? I need to watch this for this lady. But no, just straight up a dick. So no.
If you happen to be a Babylon 5 actress that's listening to this show and you got your car towed,
I don't apologize.
We don't apologize, but please let me know. I just need to know who you are. So we're still mad at you all these years later. We're still on Logan's side, but please let us know. So that's the good thing. Your only intro into this show is a third or fourth string actress on the show was rude. You remember like
and
the weird
advertisements hit on Channel 50 in Chicago.
Not bad.
90s. Quick quick question, and you could edit this out because I actually had this question about a character. The alien who's Russo from Lost, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, Delenn.
Is she in Sheridan banging?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because at the end, like, Sheridan puts his arm around her and it's like, the third age. And I'm like, are you trying to get the third base? Wait, is this a thing?
Okay, so there has been a hilarity in this show about how almost juvenile this show is about. They're going to kiss. But the weirdness chases. Being Delenn and Sheridan.
Space chased.
Okay. Delenn and Sheridan really get off on weapons, which also makes sense because the backstory we have on them is those two races had a big war. Earth and Minbari had a big war that led up, right? They had to do a ceasefire, which was why they made the Babylon station. So they have no reason to be together. And the more they're together, you're like, why are you two together? Well, every time they're around guns or explosions or new ships, they just, if you notice that beginning, right after they blow up everything and he's, look at that fleet. It's the most glorious fleet. And you're like, are you two about to bang, getting off on the fleet? That's weird. But it has happened enough in the show during the rewatch, Mike, for me to be like, it's there.
Why they're there, it draws them to the job, you know, like it's all the weapons, it's all the power, they're at the top of it. Of course they're going to bang when they, you know, bang somebody.
Going back to the X-Men thing, this is just Apocalypse.
Those weak will survive. The mutants shall overcome once I have them all killing each other.
Yeah, that's just Apocalypse. He just...
Yep, it's the same thing because the whole Zaha Doom episode we were talking about, he does the...
Wait, can you say that name again?
Which one?
Zaha Doom?
Zaha Doom.
That just sounds like Aben Sun-Nur, which is Apocalypse's name.
His name. Oh, my God.
I was so busy looking at Star Trek because JMS's original idea was essentially a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, right? I'm going to take Lord of the Rings. I'm going to graft it onto Star Trek. But I was so busy looking at Star Trek and Lord of the Rings influences. I, feeling like an idiot now that you brought it up, miss the amount of X-Men influence. And that's, I mean, for what it's worth, J. Michael Straczynski goes on to be a prolific Marvel writer. Mm-hmm. So this is nothing new. So that's, you know, and I don't hate it, by the way. That's the funny thing is I'm just like, X-Men, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings. I mean, I'm a nerd.
Sign me up. Is there a character in this later on who has five knives that come out of his hands and weird memory issues and is like kind of short and hairy?
Byron in the fifth season, yeah.
There is, oh man, I hate Byron. Anyway.
Although he shaves a lot, so yeah, maybe not.
Logan, one of the things I've loved is, you know, much as I love Brendan Fraser, you have noted a lot of the issues with the Mummy movies, which, you know, many people are like, the Mummy is amazing.
It's a whole separate podcast,
but... the Mummy is amazing, and you're like, unless you're brown.
Yeah, Mummy is not a perfect film. Let me just say that t-shirt is wrong.
30 seconds of spoiler, anybody listen if this makes it in, because it's big enough, Mike, and we spoiler, right? The very end of the show, Sheridan leaves and does go to the Outer Rim, and Lorien goes, did you think we'd forgotten you? And, you know, it is Lord of the Rings ending, right, with Frodo Lord getting onto the ship. Rings. Yep. Yes, thank you. It would have been more hilarious if at the end of the show, he's okay, I'm going to the Outer Rim, and he goes there, and Lorien's just there, and like all the shadows and Vorlons are dead, and it's just like a mice and men. He's like, I had to. Like,
nah, that would have been the best if Sheridan's Lorien's, do you see the Outer Rim? Yeah, I see. Then he just gets shot in the back of the head. He shoots Sheridan with just a regular earth gun.
If they just, good fellas, that he just walks in, Joe Pesci, and then Lorien just, boom. That's how this, we're making the end of the show better.
Tell me about the Outer Rims.
Forget it, Sheridan. It's Babylon 5.
Yeah. There's a lot of visual things. If that's just if a brood fucked an alien xenomorph, or you just look like the Shi'ar from X-Men with your dumb hair. That's one of the things which.
Oh okay. My God. Yeah, I mean, he did do
that. I'm going to talk about the hair for like at least 5 minutes. It's just, that's one of the things where when I was young, I'm like, this show has stupid hair. And that's one of the reasons I'm not watching. And it's still stupid hair. So that's one of those design choices where you show it to somebody and they say, no, that looks dumb. I know they're aliens, but sometimes aliens look dumb. Give them a different haircut. And you know exactly who I'm talking about because I don't have to tell you who has dumb hair.
Do you know, a fun behind the scenes the Centauri, did you know that was actually originally just a prank that he went with?
The hair?
Because the wigs for hair go all the way out, and so they can be any length. So Peter Jurisic, who plays Londo, he just flipped it as high up as it would go and just cut like the rainbow and walked in and was like, what do you think? Isn't it great? And originally the plan was, it's not much better. It was just supposed to be a little up. So it was, still hilarious, whereas like they're aliens and they have weird hair and testicles. That's the other aspect. They have eight penises.
Exaggerated it to the fullest extent. They went with it.
Yeah. And so he was like, isn't this great? And he was like, yeah, sure. And then they went with it. And I do think it plays on it. I'm going to disagree because they are supposed to be a peacock race. And so the size of their hair, like the women have no hair. The men, especially the ones in the royal court, go all the way out. Commoners are supposed to cut it lower.
Wait. All right. I didn't know they were supposed to be a peacock. Like, are they like avian type peacock, or you just meant peacocking as
literal peacocking? Cause they're a race all about status and all of that.
Cause I thought you meant peacock. If you said the birds, then that even is more a ripoff of Shi'ar from X-Men. Cause they're the Shi'ar avian things.
Although they might as well have I think we've talked on the show, might correct me if I'm wrong, but like sometimes it's like, if you're just going to rip off a thing, it's fine. Just like do it. Cause like the Shi'ar, they look kind of cool.
Well, I was gonna say, like, you can, like, you were saying, like, ripping stuff off too. Like, you can rip stuff off if you do it well. We've had this conversation a lot where it's like all of writing is a kind of sleight of hand where, like, hey, these all my influencers are going to be on his sleeve no matter what. It's like, how well can you avoid somebody seeing through that or have it ruin something? And Logan, you noticing the Shi'ar is never going to leave my brain now. You're the first person to notice it. But yeah, that is like exactly where that came from. All the Delandra stuff. Yeah.
Have you read Midnight Nation?
I have not, no.
No, I was going to ask about that. Is that an Image title that he did?
So that's when he had this Image imprint called Joe's Comics. It's a 12... Yeah. You guys both read comics, so, you know.
I'm the comic reader. Dre doesn't really much.
It's a 12-issue thing. Gary Frank draws all of the issues, so Gary Frank, good artist, you know. Yeah. It's basically, the setup is an LA detective gets into a thing where he, like, goes to a call and gets attacked by, like, a shadow thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up, and he's told that he doesn't have his soul anymore. And he looks around, and... it's the world, except it's all like desolate. And when you lose your soul, you apparently go into the place where all forgotten and broken things go mm-hmm. to. So it's just a bunch of people who
it's
are like
purgatory forgotten. Type things.
Not
on
really
Earth.
Purgatory so much. It's just like the forgotten people, just people you don't see anymore. There's homeless people there. There's a bunch of other things. And he basically goes on a walk to get his soul back. And it's apparently J.M. Straczynski came up with the idea.
Is it a walkabout? Does he go on a walkabout to find
a type of that? He has to walk from L.A. to New York. It's basically J.M. Straczynski came up with the idea where one time he used to take like walks at night and then he got stabbed and he almost died. And once he got healed and out of the hospital, the first thing he did was he just kept walking out and doing that. And he's like, when I walked out at nighttime and stuff, I just saw people on the edge, you know, like the fucking song, the edge of that. And he was just like, yeah, these are the people who are forgotten and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting concept. It's only 12 issues, and he actually finishes the fucking story.
That's great.
So
yeah, that's perfect.
You can get it. It's like in a trade paperback. It should be. It's from Image. But yeah, that's probably my favorite thing.
I got it written down in the show notes
done.
Too. So yeah.
This by the way, I don't feel the need to like direct a faux segue to this. I think this has to be in the bonus episode, Mike, about I would buy that this Logan's Babylon 5 lore, like the Comic-Con story, and then Logan has the Rosetta Stone. We have talked, there is a storyline in season 3 of Babylon 5 about Walkabout that ends with Franklin getting stabbed And we even hypothesize about
that happened,
about Frank, about the walkabout being an avenue, because literally he's, I'm overworked. I'm working too much. I just need a walkabout. And he was the showrunner that wrote every episode. And we're like, are you projecting? And you're like, not only is he projecting this storyline, that's wild.
He has, because in the foreword for the book, or for the graphic novel, because it was like 12 issues, and then he put in the foreword for the trade, when he says that he got stabbed, he's, I woke up in that hospital. When I got up, I had knew two things. One, I no longer feared death. And two, I needed to go walking again. And I've been walking ever since. And he just went back on those walks. And it's just like, he walks because he wants to experience life at nighttime when people who are forgotten and that type of stuff. So 100%, that walkabout is absolutely connected to him getting fucking stabbed and almost dying.
Yeah, it's in the theme in so many of his works, too. He did that with Superman as well later in one of the arcs.
Yeah,
he had
a man do the walk thing that people didn't like. Oh. Yeah.
And that's a JMS thing all the way.
What's that? No, that was not drawn by Gary Frank. Just that first one, yeah. He also had that Rising Stars comic, which was interesting, but besieged by weird artist changes and shit like that.
Yeah, that was his first big thing he did in comics, wasn't it, too? I think he did that as a creator.
It's either that or he did Spider-Man first. I think he did Spider-Man first, and then he started doing the Image stuff popular.
I'll have to look that up, because I thought it was the other way in my mind. Like, he did that himself and then got the Spider-Man
was in a very bad place.
Yeah,
they took a big swing to get him there. So I can't remember if he did that, and then he's, I love comics now, and then he started doing the Image.
That makes complete sense, too.
Very close together.
He talks about that. Because have you read his book too, The Becoming Superman? Nah. He talks about that a lot. Like, he'll get done with one type of writing in his life and just move on. Like, after television writing couldn't do anymore, then comics was his thing. And after he couldn't do that anymore, that's when he got into writing movies and everything too.
Yeah. It is very weird how much like movie Thor takes from his stuff and just never really.
He's in it though, at least. First Thor, he's the one who picks up the hammer. So at least they attribute a little.
It's one of my favorite Thor runs.
They do the classic Marvel Disney thing. They're like, we will acknowledge you wrote it. They're like, so you want to give me any money? They're like, no, we said your name.
Yeah, that's what you get. We're Marvel.
Thanks again for listening. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get the show. Next week, we'll be covering Season 4, Episode 14 of Babylon 5, Moments of Transition, with special guest John Reinman. Cheers, all.